Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. So great to see you all here today. My name is John, and it's my privilege to be bringing the Word of God to you here today. For those who don't know me, I am Young Adults Pastor here at The Rocks and have been so for the past 3-ish years, and it's been an absolute pleasure being in this space. And I just want to let you know that if you are new here today, maybe this is your first time joining us, I also want to extend my personal welcome to you as well. I'm just so excited that you are joining us, regardless of where your faith background, regardless of where your faith journey is. I know that there's going to be something powerful and important to be spoken to you here today, and I'm so pumped about that. And maybe you're joining us on YouTube as well, or podcast, or here in Perth or around the world. So excited that you're able to tune in as well. Now today, just like Sid mentioned, I am concluding the Soul Detox series, which we have been doing now for the past couple weeks or so, and I absolutely have fallen in love with this series because it's all about what it looks like to detox our souls. And oftentimes, you know, we think about detoxing our bodies, you know, we look about how to detox our mind, but this is a little bit of a shift, a little bit of a change to kind of that outlook. And this is about detoxing our souls, and so we're jumping into the past couple of weeks of what that can look like for each and every single one of us, and I'm going to be continuing that message here this morning. But before I do so, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we get to be here together, God, Lord, and just experience your power and your wonder in our lives. Lord, I pray that the message here speaks to every single one of us exactly where we're at, God. Lord, thank you that you love us exactly as we are, but you love us too much, Lord, just to leave us this way. So, God, I just pray for that transformative power that you promised every single one of us, God, and I declare that over this morning. And everyone say it together with me, amen, amen. So, I want to bring you back to about July 2000. 2016, and Pastor Mike, for those who don't know him, he's one of the worship leaders here at church. He and I decided it would be an absolutely fantastic idea to do a juice detox. Now, I don't know how many of you here have partaken in such adventurous things before, but I had a bit of an experience with this a couple years back, and you know, I thought, how hard could it really possibly be? You know, I love fruits, I love vegetables, I love juice. What is the hardest thing that could happen? And so I went to Carousel, got all the fruits, got all the veggies, chopped them all up, got them all sorted. Chitra, who's Mike's wife, would come over first thing in the morning and we would prepare the juices for the day. And as you can see on the screen behind me, we had orange juices, we had green juices, we had purple juices. We went the whole nine yards and it was absolutely at that point, I thought it was going to be great. And so the orange juices had things like oranges and ginger and apples. The green juice had things like kale and cucumbers and celery and lime. And the red juice had things like tomatoes and beetroot and pear and a little bit of oranges in there as well. And I just like was so gung-ho, a little bit competitive. I'm like, I'm going to do this for an entire week. So I packed my lunch. I got all set to go. And the very first juice in the morning is the orange juice. And I was like, simple. It's orange juice. I have orange juice in the morning anyways. Like, this is a cinch. What are people complaining about when they're talking about juicing? And then it was mid-afternoon, and I got my green juice, and that one was, like, a little bit harder. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the wafting of kale in like, that kind of early in the morning, but I was like, it's only the second juice. This is going to be fine. I can get through this. I have a lot of determination and self-will. And then it came to lunchtime. And I don't know how many of you were here last week and heard Sid preach a fantastic message, but she talked a little bit about what Chloe and I like to do for lunches occasionally. And we partake in something called a three cheese toastie. And this is probably my favorite food of all time. And I wasn't able to have my three cheese toastie on this day. And all I can do is smell these fantastic aromas of food just wafting through the cafe. And I thought to myself, this is going to be a little bit harder than I thought. And so I had my like purple juice, which basically tastes like tomato sauce, and I was struggling through that one. And then it came to mid-afternoon, I got to have my second green juice of the day. Dinner time, had my second orange juice for the day, and fair enough to say, I did not last even 3 days through this juice fast. And I ran to McDonald's, and I got a Big Mac meal with french fries, no tomato sauce, because it reminded me too much of the purple juice, and I absolutely just dug in and had the best feast of my life. You know, we laugh about it and we joke about it, but the reality is that detoxing isn't for the faint of heart. Detoxing isn't this really easy thing that we just say, oh, I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna get through it, I'm gonna breeze through it. In fact, detoxing is gonna take some determination. Detoxing is gonna take some willpower. Detoxing is gonna take some strength when we don't have that strength. And it's gonna take a reliance on God through those tough times. So if you're here today and you think that in this next half an hour, all your life's problems are gonna be solved, it might be a part of the solution, but it's gonna take a little bit more than that from you here today. It's gonna take a little bit of action. It's going to take a little bit of determination. It's going to take you jumping into this space and engaging with God in a powerful way to get you through those hard times. Because the reality is, sometimes detoxing is hard. Probably most of the time, all the time, detoxing can be quite tough. But I'm believing in the transformative power of Jesus. I'm believing that there's a potential for more for you in this life. There's more to be written in this chapter. There's more to be written on the page. And if you engage and if you jump into this space and actually expect God to move, I believe God will move that mountain for you. I expect that God will continue to move in your situation, and it's gonna might be look a little bit tough, but I believe that detoxing your soul will lead to a better outcome, a better future, and I'm believing that for every single one of us here today. You know, one of the major thoughts that drives this series is something that Pastor Daniel mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I absolutely love this statement. This is what he said. He said, "You are not a body with a soul. In fact, you are a soul with a body. You are not a body with a soul, but you are a soul with a body." And oftentimes we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves and we think, hey, that's who I am. I see my body. That's John. That's who I am. But actual fact, our bodies are like a house or like a temporary dwelling for our souls. When we die in this life, our souls will live on. For those of us who consider ourselves a Christian today, when our bodies die, our souls will live on with Jesus forever in eternity. Our bodies are not entirely who we are. They're just a dwelling, a case for our soul and who we are. So when it comes to talking about detoxing, and what I want to talk about specifically here today, I want to talk about what it looks like to have a heavy soul. I want to talk a little bit about what it looks like to have a heavy soul here this morning, and I'm really excited to jump into this topic with you here today. And to help kind of exemplify what I mean by a heavy soul, I have some amazing volunteers who are going to come out on stage just now. Can we give them a little bit of a round of applause? We have, they remember from this morning how amazing this illustration was. So we have Tash, we have Renee, and we have Yeski. Oh, Yeski was Karen this morning. Hello, Karen. So what this challenge is, it's going to be a little bit of friendly competition, but what we're going to do is, I'm going to say, ready, set, go, and these three are going to lift up their buckets, and they're going to hold it in this horizontal position for as long as possible. Oh, they're getting ready. This is serious. This is like breaking rights. And so I told them there was no prize, but they do know that. But I love it. Heavy soul. Okay. So each of the buckets have the exact same weight. So there is no kind of bias or leniency, and it's not rigged by any means, but we're just going to see who can last the longest. All set? All right. 3, 2, 1, go. So I don't know if you've ever tried this at home before. In about 5 to 10 seconds, what's going to happen is that all the lactic acid is going to start building up right here, and it's going to feel super painful. He's like, no. And so it's going to feel really hard really soon. For those who don't know, this is Yeski. So Yeski is one of the worship leaders here at The Rocks, and he is single and ready to mingle, and he's like, I'm done. And Renee is also a worship leader here at The Rocks. They sang really. And on the end, we have the amazing Tash, who is one of the stage managers. She makes everything happen here at The Rocks, and so right now is when it starts to get really painful. And so right in your quadricep, for those, no, everyone's like, what? Rohan somewhere is like screaming. Oh, we're doing really well this morning. I was kind of hoping this was going to move along a little faster, but that's cool. What else? Does anybody know any jokes? No, I was kidding. Oh, there you go. Amazing, let's give him a hand. Fantastic. You can go off stage. Thank you so much. You trio, absolutely fantastic. Now, it seems like this is a competitive Sunday. We've got a lot of stuff going on here, and we love competition here at The Rocks. Now, that was a little bit of fun, but I actually did have a point, believe it or not. In fact, I have a couple points that I wanted to bring out. The first point is that we all carry weight. Each and every single one of us carry weight in this life. Each and every single one of us have baggage that we have, maybe from the past, maybe something happened to you, maybe a friend betrayed you, maybe a spouse said something to you, maybe you're going through a really tough season, maybe you don't have a job right now. Whatever it is, we all carry some weight. And the second point is that heavy is subjective. Heavy is subjective. You know, all three of them had the exact same weight, but they all had different breaking points. You know, for one person, it might seem really, really heavy, but for the next person, it actually might not seem as heavy. Each of us have different graces of strength for different seasons. Each and every single one of us have different things that we can hold on to for longer than the other person, but heaviness is subjective. And my last point is that strength is not infinite. Strength is not infinite. In fact, it is finite. At the end of the day, those three can hold those buckets for a pretty long time, but if they continue to hold that strength with their own strength, it'll eventually drop. They will have to let go of the bucket. They can't stand there forever. Their strength will weigh out. Their strength will not last forever and ever and ever. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we all have baggage. We all have things that we carry. Every single one of us, that weight might look different, but we all carry baggage. But at the end of the day, if we continue to hold on to these things, if we continue to hold on to these buckets on our own strength, eventually it will crush our bodies, but even more so, it will crush our souls. So why is it that so many of us live with a heaviness of our soul? Why is it that we live with a heaviness of the soul? And in fact, David in the Old Testament, in Psalm 42, asks himself a very similar question. In fact, he asks his soul this question. He says this, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Why are you so heavy? Why are you so uneasy? Why are you so worried? Why are you so upset? Why are you so disturbed?" And that's the question that I'm hoping to answer here today. That's the question that I want to target here in our time together. And I believe that there are three main reasons as to why we have a heaviness in our soul. And if you're taking notes, I would love for you to join along and do so with me. First reason, we are heavy with pain from the past. Now, Jeremiah illustrates this really, really well in Lamentations, and he says this as he reflects on his pain from the past. He says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." And my guess is that for many of us here today, we are carrying a heaviness based on a past experience. Something is happening in this present moment caused by a heaviness of a pain that has happened in the past. And maybe for you, you're going through a divorce and you're carrying that into your life here today. Maybe for you, you have lost a job in the past and now you're struggling to make ends meet here today. Maybe in the past you've been betrayed by a close friend or you've been hurt by someone that you love and you're carrying the weight of that pain here today. Or maybe you said something to someone that you shouldn't have said and you're carrying regret and shame and guilt through all these situations. Or maybe you did something that you didn't want to do. You have a present pain based on a past hurt. You know, for me, in high school, I remember growing up and I had an absolutely fantastic experience in high school. But as you can imagine, this height walking down the hallways, and I was about half my weight, and I was a very skinny, tall person in high school. And I acquired a certain nickname that stuck with me for a very long time. And it wasn't ever used maliciously, it wasn't ever used against me, but sometimes those names can stick with us into our present time, even here today. And that name was given to me 10 years ago, that sometimes still gets dragged into my present. And that name was String Bean. And you can laugh at it if you want. I'm getting over it, but you can laugh at it if you want. And there's just that idea, this picture of something that I didn't really want to be, that wasn't something that I was proud of. And that was something that I can carry into my present day. I still can get triggered by some of those names. Another name my brother used to call me when I was really, really young, he used to call me Buddy. And I absolutely hated being called Buddy. There's like really no good reason why. But whenever he used the word Buddy, it was always used in like a malicious way. It's like, "What are you doing, Buddy?" And I just absolutely hated it. And I still today bring that and carry that baggage with me. And poor Dev, he loves calling every single person saying buddy. It's just like the nicest thing that he said. Like, it's just a nice thing and a nice guy. And he calls me buddy. And on the inside, I'm just like, oh man, like, did I do something to hurt you? Like, did I offend you? And he has no idea what's happening. And I'm like not texting him for 3 weeks now. But I'm just like, it's like, I carry that present pain because of a past hurt. And I eventually told Def, and this isn't the first time he's finding out. But there was something that we're carrying based on something that happened in the past. And we all carry this type of heaviness. There's another reason why I believe we have a heaviness of the soul, and that's heavy with problems in the present. We have problems in the present. And I love how Job describes it. He says, but now, not in the past, not in the future, but now troubles come to you. Maybe some of you can relate. And you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed. There are so many of us right now who are going through something and we thought, I really didn't think I'd be here in this time in my life. You know, this really didn't fit in my 5-year plan. You know, you look in the mirror and you thought, I really thought I was gonna be a different person by this point. I thought I was gonna have this job. I thought I was gonna have this family. I thought I was gonna have this life, but I'm burdened with this trouble because of the problems that I have in this present. Maybe for you, you're going through that divorce right now. Maybe you're going through that fight with your spouse, or you're going through those problems with your kids, or maybe you're struggling to find that job. Whatever it is, you're having problems in the present time, and it's bringing a heaviness to your soul. It's bringing a burden onto your soul. This past couple of weeks, I've had some issues with my car. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or not, @John@Atkinson, if you want to shamelessly follow me. But I have had some issues with my car, and no social media. Yeah, so you can do it today, right now. But I've had some troubles with my car, and I've had to fix the wiring for my headlights, and I've had to replace my car battery. There's been like a couple kind of big things happening with my car, and it's brought like a heaviness, has brought kind of this drag on my life, and I'm feeling like this kind of heaviness on my soul. And you might be thinking, that's not really that big of an issue, you know, like cars can be fixed and all that kind of stuff, and like I'm totally there with you. But at the same time, heavy is subjective. So at the same time, what might not look heavy from the outside, you have to remember that each person deals with heaviness differently. And so what might not look heavy on the outside, you don't know what's happening on the inside. And so this has been something that's compounding in my life, and it's actually brought a lot of kind of distress and anxiety and doubt into my situation. So that's my current thing that I'm going through. And the third reason why many of us are living in a constant heaviness of the soul, and this is actually one that I'm quite vulnerable to, and it's something that I tend to struggle with the most. I don't know if you can relate to this one as well, but I'm heavy with a fear about the future, heavy about what's gonna happen tomorrow, what's gonna happen next week, what's gonna happen in the next couple of years. You know, how am I gonna pay off those bills? How am I gonna pay off that debt? How am I gonna raise my children and balance my job and balance my studies? You know, how am I gonna do in that exam when I don't feel like I'm smart enough to get through this? How am I gonna get through life when I feel like all these challenges are in my way to come, and you're just filled with anxiety, filled with stress, and you just don't feel like you can get through it? You know, for me, it's quite a common question that a lot of people ask me, but they always say, hey, John, it's so great that you're living here in Australia, but what's like your long-term plan? Like, what are you doing in the next couple of years? And it's a great question, and I love when people ask me this question, but at the same time, I don't have an answer necessarily for it. And it's something that brings a lot of fear into my life because I don't have a concrete answer into what God's plan is for me in the rest of my life. And I sometimes bring doubt. I'm like, is there something wrong with me that I don't have an answer for this? You know, I have this insecurity that creeps in, and I have a fear about the future because I can't necessarily articulate it in a way that I would like to. And so maybe you're here today as well, and you're battling with this decision, you're battling with what to come. But I believe that most of us, if not all of us, are heavy with fear about the future in one way or the other. And believe it or not, even Jesus had a moment in his life when he looked back to the pain he would endure when he became sin for us, and he knew that he would have to die on the cross for our sins. Being God in the flesh, he knew exactly what was to come, and he felt this heaviness as well. And in anguish in his soul, he cried out to God, and it says in Mark 14, it says, Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And what does he say? Not my mind, not my body, but my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. My soul, there's a heaviness of my soul. There's something that's holding me down. There's something that's keeping captive of me. And because of that, it's hard for me to live the life that God has planned for me in this world. It's hard for me to do and to be the person that God has called me to be. There's trouble all around, and I'm living with this heaviness of the soul. You know, when I was in high school, I probably mentioned it a few times. I played basketball in high school quite competitively, and I had the privilege of playing in my provincial team, Team Ontario. And the summer after Team Ontario, I wanted to kind of step up in my competition and join kind of like the next best team, and kind of during the off season. And I wanted to play a year up, so I wanted to play a year above my current age. And so my dad decided that to kind of give me an edge in the competition, he bought me one of these. Now, I don't know if you know what this is, but this is a 1 kilogram ankle weight. And so what it is essentially is you put it on your ankle, and what it does is it adds kind of an extra weight onto your legs, which helps you develop muscles kind of when you're running around. So I would only wear it during practice time, and I would wear it during all the drills and when I'm shooting. And the idea is that it feels really heavy at the time, and it kind of drags you down a little bit. But when you release it, when you take off your ankle weight, the idea is that you're stronger afterwards. You're more free, you're more at liberty, you're supposed to be faster, more agile, you can jump higher, all these kind of things. But the interesting thing was, is that even though I wore this during practice times, when I took it off during the games, I wasn't used to it. I wasn't comfortable with it. I was so used to carrying this weight around that when I didn't have my freedom, when I didn't have my weight, I was actually more comfortable. And the thing is, when I had the weight on, I was actually more comfortable than when I had it off. And so I wouldn't be able to play as well during my games. I wasn't able to play well during competition, and I struggled, and I would trip over my own feet trying to get the ball. But the thing is that this thing that was meant to be good for me, this thing that's holding me, is actually holding me down. And this thing that I thought was supposed to be good for me has become something really tough for me, and something that's been holding me back and from me becoming the success I was meant to be. And the unfortunate reality is that so many of us have taken this stance on our heaviness as well. So many of us have taken this stance with the heaviness on our lives. We've been so accustomed to the heaviness, to the limping, to the dragging around, that we've become too comfortable with it. We've become too comfortable with having the weight of our soul being there, that we're not used to being actually free. We're not used to being light. Our souls aren't used to being kind of weightless, and we're actually more comfortable in our pain than we are in our freedom. And we become attached to those pains. We become attached, it becomes part of our identity. It becomes of who we are, becomes part of who we are, and it's not the way that God had intended it. It's not what God's plan is intended for your life. But we're accustomed to the way that things are instead of trying to get out of them. We're so accustomed with the way of how the weight feels that we stop there and we stop trying to escape that pain. My point is that you don't have to live that way. You may think that it's always going to be this way, but I believe if God was here today, if Jesus was in this room, he would say to you, you don't have to. You don't have to live in this constant pain. You don't have to live with this constant heaviness. You don't have to live with the heaviness of the soul. In fact, let's look at the verse that David said in Psalm 42 when he said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me?" But what does he say afterwards? The thing that he says afterwards is so crucial and so important and so key, because this is what God has called every single one of us into. We're so accustomed to stopping at this sentence, but actually we should be saying this instead. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So often we stop in this first sentence and we don't continue on with the second sentence, but God has called us into more. God has called us into something more. And I believe that that is the hope and the promise for every single one of us here today. And maybe you're here tonight and you're maybe new to all this faith stuff, new to all this Christian stuff. Can I just say that I'm so, so excited that you're joining us here today. Like, honestly, just so, so pumped that you decided to take this step of faith into this room. And maybe you've driven to the Rocks like 3 or 4 times and have parked outside and haven't had the courage to come into the building. And maybe today is that very first day that you've found your strength to come in and walk into the building and listen to the message and join our gathering. I just want to let you know that's not a small thing. I want to let you know that it's so exciting that you have taken this faith step. And I believe that God is going to speak to you and God is going to move in your situation. And you don't have to have your life together, just like Sid mentioned earlier. You can come just as you are. But for the next couple of moments, I want to take this time to talk to those who do consider themselves a Christian. I want to take some time to talk to those of us who do consider us followers of Jesus, because I believe that it's time for some of us to start developing a new muscle. It's time for some of us to start working out and developing a new muscle, and that's the muscle of our memory. Some of us need to start developing our muscle memory. Now, for those who don't know what muscle memory is the ability to reproduce a specific movement without conscious thought. And this is acquired as a result of frequent repetition of that movement. That's a lot of words, but basically that means that when we do something a lot of times, when we do something with frequent repetition, that starts to happen in the future without us even having to think about it. That starts to happen without conscious thought, that happens in our subconscious, that those things become habits and patterns in our lives. If we think about typing, or we think about typing a letter or an email on the computer, you know, you've typed out the word the like a million times, so when you're typing out the word the, you don't actually have to think about it, it kind of just appears on the screen. Or if you think about when you took piano lessons 15 years ago and somehow when you sit at the piano now, you can still play that exact same song even though you haven't picked up an instrument since that point and you can't tell the difference between a C and a G. The thing is, you have that muscle memory inside of you. We all have muscle memory inside every single one of us. But the same goes with our reaction when life throws us a curveball. Each and every single one of us has a specific reaction to when life gets tough. And we have two options. We can either think back and remember the good, or we can think back and remember the bad and dwell on the bad. And so often our muscle memory for when life throws us a curveball is that we only remember the bad. We stick with the why is my soul so downcast. We stuck in this, oh, woe is me. And we can't move on from the situation. We get so stuck and burdened in the bad stuff that we actually forget all the good stuff. We forget how God has provided for us in the past. We forget God's faithfulness. But the thing is, it's time for some of us to make new pathways in our brain. It's time for some of us to start making new pathways and to start making new habits and start developing a new muscle memory. And when life gets tough, you need to start preaching to yourself and telling yourself, hey, God is faithful. I remember that time when God was good, and I'm going to cling on to that memory instead of letting this thing drag me down and be heavy on my life. It's time for some of us to start developing a new muscle, and that's the muscle of our memory. We have to remember God's faithfulness. It's time for some of us to start remembering God's faithfulness. When you're tempted to look back on the hurts of the past, and you're tempted to look at only the terrible things that have happened to you, it's got to shift gears. It's time to shift gears and start preaching to yourself and bringing God's faithfulness to your mind from the past. Because if you look to the past, you will find how God has moved in your situation. If we look back at what Jeremiah was saying in Lamentations, we'll notice how he shifts gears as well. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. But then watch how Jeremiah shifts gears. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When faced with agony and a heavy soul, his muscle memory is to call to mind and remember the hope that he has in God. And that is how great his faithfulness. It's time to remember those times when you were praying to God and asking him for that thing, and God fulfilled his promise to you and gave you exactly what you were asking for. It's time to remember those times when you were reading the Bible and the words came up on the page and you got an exact word in your season, and you remember how God answered you. Remember when you were in the car driving and you were crying and you were weeping because of how much trouble you're going through, but God put on that perfect song on Spotify and the radio and it spoke directly to your soul and you were brought out of that time. You're reminded of how faithful your God is. Remember that time when you were in this exact auditorium and it felt like only you and God were here and God was speaking directly to you, like God was speaking exactly the words of life, the words of truth, the words of love that you needed to hear deep down in your soul. Remember those times that God was faithful, because God is faithful. I remember in my own life this year that I was didn't before I even prayed for sponsors for IA Camp, God provided 4 sponsors this exact year, a few months ago. I remember that when the passing of my mom and there was a gap left in my life, that God continues to this day to provide spiritually wise women in my life to fill that space in which I was lacking when I was turning around every corner and looking for advice in those areas. I remember when God put Australia on my heart and he granted me that first visa, and then I applied again and I got a second visa, and then I got a third visa, and just last month I was granted my 4th visa again to be here for 2 more years. I remember how God was faithful to me when I was struggling, and I remember he used people around me to bless me with loving, kind words timely words that God was speaking directly to me. I remember how God was faithful. And the thing is, when this happens, when we bring to mind when God is faithful, when we bring to mind how amazing God is, the weight of our life begins to come off of us. The weight starts to come off of us and our souls become light again. The weight comes directly off and we no longer have to carry this. We no longer have to limp around carrying and dragging our feet around because God has provided you with a gift of your memory. And some of us need to tap into our memory a little bit more and break new muscle memory into our lives. So to start bringing in the memory and the faithfulness of who God is in our situation. And that's my prayer for every single one of us here today. You know, I love what it says in Isaiah 40. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly like eagles. They will fly on wings and soar like eagles. Their strength will be renewed. And when you run, you will not grow weary. When you walk, you will not grow faint. And some of us, we need to put our hope in the Lord. And when we put our hope in the Lord, then he will renew our strength. We'll be able to fly on wings and soar like eagles. We'll have the weightlessness of our lives. We'll be able to take lift off and be in the air floating in a sense that God is there with us. But we have to remember God's faithfulness and he will provide for us. He will allow us to not grow weary and he will allow us to not grow faint. You might be in a season now where you feel quite heavy. And you might be in a time where you feel like there's no hope. And the enemy will try to take that hope from you. The enemy will try to take that directly from you. And he will try to take away your memories. He will try to take away those times that God did come through for you. But it's our responsibility, it's our duty to continue to bring those things to mind, to bring those at the forefront of our mind. The ability to remember how God has worked in the past is something, it's a weapon that we should use more often than we currently do. It's a foundation to stand on, but the unfortunate reality is that so many of us don't remember. Not enough of us do think back, not enough of us do remember and recall on God's faithfulness. And we get frustrated, and right after God has provided, right after God has given us that exact thing as that we have prayed for, right after that miracle has happened, and then we get to that next season of life and something bad happens, we dwell in this bad spot. But it's time for some of us to shift gears, just like Jeremiah did. Some of us need to shift gears and to call on God's faithfulness, to remember God's faithfulness in our lives. And as we do so, the weight will be lifted off and our souls will be light again. You know, the Old Testament is full of amazing stories. I don't know if you had a chance to read the first part of the Bible. When you have a chance, I highly recommend it. But there's an amazing kind of, I guess, illustration that happens throughout a large part of it. And it's this relationship between the Israelites and between God. And for those who aren't familiar with the story, basically God frees the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. And they were super excited and super happy and so looking forward to what the plan that God had for them in this promised land. But the thing is, there was a desert period in between God's promise and the actual results of that promised land. And during this time, during this desert period, there was a struggle. And the Israelites were having a heavy soul as they were doubting and thinking back on the situation and feeling bad for themselves during that time. But the amazing thing is that through Moses, through their leader at the time, God spoke to them. And he said this, "You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to Egypt, the great trials your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do all of the people of whom you're afraid." Now, what's interesting about this is that Moses brings to account what God did in the past in order to bring a peace and a confidence into the future. Moses says, "Hey, remember those signs? Remember those wonders? Remember those miracles that God did for us? He's going to do them again. And it's time for us to remember those things and bring that into our current situation. When we do feel down, when we do feel like we have the weight of the world on our shoulders, it's time to remember those things. He's going to do it again. He's going to bring breakthrough in your situation. He's going to perform those miracles that you've been asking for. But it's time to remember during your desert season now. It's time to remember that God is going to do those things. And because he already has done those things. And maybe it's going to be tough in this moment. And detoxing is a little bit tough. And there's no secret antidote. There's no prescription that you can get. But there is an answer. And that answer is in your mind. You can remember. You can call to memory God's faithfulness. And when you do so, I believe that God will bring you through this season, what God will bring you through that desert time. As we close, I want to do something a little bit different here this morning, and I would love if you jump in and engage as much as possible during this time. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, in a few short moments, the band is going to stop playing, and it's going to be complete silence in this room, and the screens are going to turn black. And we've been talking about detoxing our souls. We've been talking about what it looks like to detoxify our bodies and detoxify our souls. But right now, I want to give you an opportunity to engage in just that. I believe it's so important to do that application, to take that step of faith and to do these things we've been preaching about, because it is really hard to detox. It is really hard, and sometimes it takes a little bit of a push. But right now, I'm going to ask the band to stop playing and the screens are going to go black. And I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes for the next minute or so, I want you to bring to memory how God has been faithful to you in the past, and bring to memory all those times that God has come through in ways that you couldn't even imagine, and bring to mind just the amazing grace, the amazing providence that we have in God. And I love what it says in John chapter 14, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you."
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.